This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Courage Under Fire.
On September 11th, 2001, terrorists hijacked a commercial passenger aircraft to be used to attack targets in New York City and Washington, D.C. Two of those planes, one American Airlines and the other United Airlines, were flown by these zealots into the World Trade Center. That caused massive damage and started hellish fires that eventually caused the weakened 110-story building to collapse. Within minutes after the first aircraft struck the North Tower, five companies of EMS arrived. Chief officers set up a command center in the lobby of the building. As first arriving units entered the building under, and firefighters began climbing the stairs. The FDNY, the Fire Department of New York, deployed 200 units to the site with more than 400 firefighters, EMT, and paramedics on the scene. Many firefighters arrived at the towers without reporting to the command center. Problems with radio communication caused commanders to lose contact with many of New York's bravest, who went into the buildings and charged headlong into chaos and danger. There came a point when those heroes were unable to hear evacuation orders given over and over and over again. And then the buildings, one by one, collapsed. Hundreds were killed or trapped within. 343 firefighters and paramedics, the first responders, lost their life in a matter of moments. It was the greatest loss of life in a single day for the Fire Department of New York. Question for the morning is, what is the quality in a person that causes them to do what they are probably unafraid to do? Or what quality creates a scenario in which a soldier, like my cousin Butch Bua, deservedly receives a Purple Heart and now is at a place where he's battling one of the greatest battles of his life, and that's with a terrible disease. Or the many in service who have given their life for their country and their lives for others. It's not blindly overlooking danger. The answer is, it's not the absence of fear. It is instead a mastery of fear. The quality is called, and it's the name of our sermon today, courage. Courage under fire. It's been said firefighters run into a burning building while ordinary people run out of them. Why? Yes, it's their job to do it. But is it really worth a job to lose your life? Yes, they are highly trained, but no amount of training can prepare you for what happened on September 11th or on the battlefield when you're under terrific fire. The title of my sermon, as I said, Courage Under Fire. The American Heritage Dictionary defines courage as, quote, the state or quality of mind or spirit that enables one to face danger with self-possession, confidence, and resolution. Courage is a quality God has gifted to humanity which allows us to face fear, doubt, disappointment, failure, stress, loneliness, and hopelessness, and come out of those experiences on the other side still standing. The Bible is replete with accounts of courage under fire. Let me take you back 3,400 years. Are you ready for that? Moses, Israel's great leader, was dead. Did you turn on the TV this morning and see it? You missed it, huh? He died 3,400 years ago. But Joshua, his understudy for 40 years, was ready to take up the torch and lead Israel to the homeland. God had promised them. Now Joshua was thrust into leadership of a nation. Yes, he was trained. He graduated from the University of Moses, the school of hard knocks, and whining thousands. And yes, he probably felt overwhelmed and intimidated as this new challenge, until he heard God whisper something to him. It's found in the book of Joshua. It's chapter 1, and it's verses 6 to 9. And would you stand with me as I read to you from the scripture this morning? Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And this is what God says to the newly minted leader of Israel. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You may be seated. Who's that addressed to? If you think it's only Joshua, you are sadly mistaken. 3,400 years ago, coming to you in 2021 as a fire, as a blaze, telling you to take heart, telling you to be courageous, telling you never to quit and never to give up. And those words from God have given men and women the courage to go on even under the most severe circumstances. Let me fast forward from 1400 BC with Joshua to 1934 in Berlin, Germany. In 1934, Adolf Hitler summoned German church leaders to his Berlin office to berate them for insufficiently supporting his programs. Pastor Martin Niemöller explained that he was concerned only for the welfare of the church and the German people. Hitler snapped, "You confine yourself to the church. I'll take care of the German people." Niemöller replied, "You said you will take care of the German people? But we too, as Christians and churchmen, have a responsibility toward the German people. That responsibility was entrusted to us by God, and neither you nor anyone in this world has the power to take it from us," end quote. Standing in front of Adolf Hitler. Think about that. Think about this. Hitler listened in silence. But that evening, his Gestapo raided Niemöller's rectory. And a few days later, a bomb exploded in his church. During the months and years following, he was closely watched by the secret police. And in June 1937, he preached these words to his church. "We have no more thought of using our own powers to escape the arm of the authorities than had the apostles of old. We must obey God rather than man." He was soon arrested and placed in solitary confinement. Dr. Niemöller's trial began on February 7, 1938. That morning, a green uniformed guard escorted the minister from his prison cell and through a series of underground passages toward the courtroom. Niemöller was overcome, as you would be, with terror and loneliness. What would become of him? What would become of his family? What would become of the church? What tortures awaited for all of them? The guard's face was impassive. He was silent as stone. But as they exited the tunnel to ascend the final flight of stairs, Niemöller heard a whisper. At first, he didn't know where it came from. For the voice was soft, soft as a sigh. Then he realized it was the officer. He was breathing into his ear the words of Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved." Niemöller's fear fell away, and the power of that verse sustained him through his trial and through the many years of his imprisonment in a concentration camp. What God told Joshua and Martin Niemöller is the same message, and the message that he gives to you. Be strong. Don't be afraid. I will be your strength when your strength fails. Have you ever been through a trial in this life where your strength failed? Have you ever been through circumstances so dark and so dire and so desperate that you lost hope? God says to you in those times, but telling you right here, right now, when you're not going necessarily through a time like that. And here's something to remember that I've quoted through the years. Never forget in the dark what you've learned in the light. And the light of today is what these words are. That when your strength fails, his begins. It's not just in matters of life and death that we will find the need to call out to God for courage. I'd like to share just four areas that require courage on your part. Number one, it takes courage to take risks and daydreams. And dream dreams. Love and relationships are risky because your heart's on the line. The risky business of a new job or a promotion because your future's on the line. There's a risky business of a new financial venture because your fortune is on the line. It takes courage to learn something, that failure is not final. That you can go through situations where you're losing for a while, but failure is not final. You have to take the risk. You've got to take the stand. It takes courage to do that. You're contemplating a new venture? Are you contemplating a new situation in your life? Are you contemplating a new issue coming down on you? It takes courage to face it. Secondly, it takes courage to face life's challenges and disappointments. To face the lonely nights when you've experienced the death of your spouse or some other loved one. Some of you have been there. Or that you face the cold light of day when you lose your job and unemployment is about to run out for you. Savings are gone, and the mortgage payments are due, or the rent is due, or your bills are past due. Or you're the young student who faces the harangue of the school bully day after day after day, and you don't know what to do. It takes courage to face that person. It takes courage for a young person being bullied to stand up and say something, doesn't it? Third, it takes courage to face life's scariest moments. I like that picture up there. How many of you have had that? I don't think so. It takes courage to face life's scariest moments, to sit in the oncologist's office with your family and be told you have cancer. Some of you know about that. I know about that. Or you get a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning that says your child has been in an accident. Please hurry down to the hospital. Not only soldiers who find themselves shaking with fear in the foxholes on the front line, some days you can feel like you're just under fire and there's no way out. One of the worst feelings in life is to feel trapped and there's no way out. But there's a promise from God in the scripture that he will provide a way out. That you have to hang on. Even in the most desperate moments of your life when you kind of gave up hope. You figured your past was going to follow you all the rest of your life. You figured this situation was never going to go away. You figured that you lost hope and there was no new morning. Well, sorrow and tears come at night, but joy comes in the morning. That day is coming. It's a promise from the Lord. When the pressure is really on and the weight of the day seems more than you can bear, there comes this voice, a voice that comes from the pages of antiquity and your experiences today. What is that voice? The voice of the Lord. Be strong. Be of great courage. Don't be afraid. I am your God. and I am with you. You felt all alone. You felt nobody could understand. You were absolutely certain that no one had ever been through what it is you're going through at this particular moment. You came to that place where you said, I'm all alone in my fears. I'm all alone with my stress. I'm all alone with my anger. And the answer to that is, you're not. Amen? How many of you know that? By experience, you're not lying when you raise your hands, are you? You're telling the truth. And that truth comes from claiming this promise. This is not just a set of words. Be strong and of great courage. Don't be afraid. I am your God and I am with you. That's not just words. That's not, please forgive me for putting it, that's just not a verse in the Bible. That's a promise in the Bible. A promise you must claim when you go through those times when all is lost. In some place out here, God says, no, it's not. But you can't hear that voice sometimes because you've got the winds and the whirl and the stresses of your experience all around you. Those voices seem to be louder. And this is why for you, as for me, we must memorize some scripture. And this is an important one for you to remember in Joshua chapter 1. Go back over that and read that verse. And when you need it, claim it. Don't just say it, claim it. Courage from God can be born out of all the marks and all the nooks. You try saying nooks quickly. It can come out of all the nooks and crannies of our darkest moments and greatest challenges. So that when we have done the most harm, when those things have done the most harm to you, the most they can do, you will be standing irrespective of that. In other words, when life's done all it possibly can do to bring you down, the realities are that makes a promise from God that you can keep standing. You will have the courage to stand again. Don't let go. Let me bring some examples to you. Bury him in the snows of Valley Forge, and you have George Washington. Raise him in abject poverty, and you have Abraham Lincoln. Label him too stupid to learn, and you have Thomas Edison. Tell her she's too old to start painting at 80, and you have Grandma Moses. Have him or her born black in a society with racial discrimination, and you have Booker T. Washington, Marian Anderson, George Washington Carver. Make him the first child to survive in a poor Italian family of 18, and you have Enrico Caruso. Tell a young boy who loved to sketch and draw that he had no talent, and you have Walt Disney. Number 4, it takes courage to do what's morally right. Not to cheat while others cheat, or to be given, or to be a giver, not just a taker, to be rich and powerful and not succumb to greed and corruption, to be true to your marriage vows, to be a person of your word, to be a person who uses words to build up and not tear down others. It takes courage. It takes courage these days just to speak out. It takes courage to share Jesus with people, does it not? It takes courage to live your life out as a Christian before those who hate Jesus. And before a secular culture who puts science over everything. It takes courage to stand up for the smears and the silent treatment and the silencing and the canceling that our society is bringing us closer and closer to every day. It's going to take courage for you to live in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. Which theologian said this? It is curious that physical courage should be so common in the world and moral courage be so rare. No theologian, Mark Twain, than that. Why is it that moral courage, the courage to stand up against the flow, which is taking us in a way that's godless, which is taking us in a way that has no truth, taking us in a way that has no absolute, taking us in a way where even the Holocaust can be rationalized by some intellectuals? Well, that's the way they did it. That's how they handle that, their problem. And if it's okay for them, it's okay for me, period. It's going to take courage to stand up against the current stream of ideas. First question, final question. What did it take for the master of the universe to leave the splendor and majesty of heaven and come to earth as a man, fully knowing his destiny was an ignominious death on a wooden cross embedded on a garbage heap called Calvary at the hands of his own human creation? What did it take for Jesus to do that? Did it take courage? No. It took something much bigger than courage. It took love. John 15:13, you know it so well. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And what does Master of the Universe, what does the Creator of all life call us? He goes on to say, and I call you friends. My mother and my father, when I was a boy growing up in Red Hook, Brooklyn, and I'm sure this is true for just about anybody who grew up in Brooklyn, two things we were told: never run out between parked cars. And the other thing we were told was, don't ever follow strangers. So when we ask people to come to know Jesus as their Savior, we're not asking them to follow a stranger. We're asking them to follow a friend. He's the one that reaches out to us. Follow somebody who's your friend. Follow somebody who you can trust. Follow somebody who won't lie to you. Follow somebody who wants only the best for you. Follow the one who will give you the courage to be able to tackle each storm of life, to tackle it with courage, to tackle it with encouragement, but to tackle it with strength that you never knew you had. God loves you, and Jesus laid down his life to prove it. In return, he wants to be loved by you and me. Have you experienced his love? Do you know him? How can you come to know him? How can you make Jesus your friend? How can you put your life into his hands and trust him? Well, the Bible is pretty straightforward. Number one, A, acknowledge, admit that you have sinned against God. B, second, believe that Jesus came to take your sin away when he died upon the cross, and that he will forgive you of your sin. See, confess that sin to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. Tell him you believe that he was on that cross, that he died for you, that he was in the ground and rose again for you. And then ask him to forgive you of your sin. He's made a promise. If you confess your sin, he will wash it all away and forget about it. Finally, when you confess that you believe in Jesus, share it with somebody else. So this morning, admit you're a sinner, believe in Jesus of the Scripture, confess your sin, and then confess your faith. Know him as your personal Savior. If you do that, he will give you the courage to follow him through life. And if you make a decision for Jesus, whether you're here in the meeting house, or you're on the telephone, if you made that confession, that admission this morning, and you received Christ as your Savior, this is really going to be your best Memorial Day ever. You're going to remember the day you gave your heart to Christ, and he gave you courage under fire. Let's pray. And so this morning, Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to receive the many gifts that you've given us through Christ our Lord. I pray your blessing on all of those who hear. May this be a day that we commemorate all of those who have given of themselves for our safety, security, freedom, and liberty. Father, but above all, that we remember this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice because Christ is our Lord and Savior. All these things we pray in his name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.